live and local,
across the city
and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Alex Elbrook.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Dr. Mifanwi Hill, the 105 vet, is back, and today we're going to talk about what we should do if our pet goes missing. Hello, Mifanwi, how are you?
Hi, Alex, great to be with you.
Now, if your pet goes missing, it's a really worrying and stressful time. What's the sort of first thing we should do?
I think the first thing to bear in mind is that lots of pets go missing and come back very quickly after you've realised that they're lost. So first of all, don't panic. Dogs in particular sometimes get lost out on walks and are often discovered waiting back at the car before you've even got to the car. So they often have quite a good sense of direction, and they're just as worried about you as you are about them, and so they head back to the safest place. So the first thing is, as I say, don't panic. The second thing to do, I think particularly when we're talking about dogs, is to contact your microchip company. So by law, all dogs now have to be microchipped. And the very first thing you can do, if your dog has been missing for, you know, any extended period of time, is register them with the database as missing. What that means is that if that microchip gets scanned by anyone else, when they contact the database, when they contact, you know, the log system where your pet's details are stored, it will flag up as missing, and so the person that scanned your pet will know to get in contact with you and let you know that they found your pet. So always contact your microchip database. Now, cats are not legally required to be microchipped, but many of our cats are, and so I think the same goes for cats. If you know that your cat is microchipped then and they've gone missing, then absolutely do consider phoning your pet log or your identichip database. So whoever your microchip is registered with. If you're not sure who your microchip is registered with, then you can always contact your local veterinary practice, who will hopefully have been the people that implanted it. And if they weren't the people that implanted it, they'll have a record of the microchip and they can tell you who it's registered with. So you can get in touch that way. But it's very important that you keep some sort of record, if possible, of who the microchip is registered with, because it's not the vet that actually manages your online registration of the microchip, it is usually the owner. So do make sure, if you're not sure, that your next vet check you have a chat about who the microchip should be registered with.
That's really good to know, because I didn't realise that. I kind of assumed that our vet knew all about the microchip and that's where we would go. I'm kind of vaguely aware that there is a company, but I hadn't thought about that. And I guess on that other point is also to keep them up to date.
Yeah, absolutely. In exactly the same way that we change phone numbers, we change postal addresses when we move house, we need to also update our pet's identity details. Because, you know, a lot of people think that the microchip is some sort of tracking device. It's
yes,
not. It really yes. is just a little microchip with information attached to it. So it doesn't help unless you're using things like AirTags on pet collars. There's no tracking component of the standard pet microchip. So it's really important to keep those details up to date.
And I guess it's also important, if your cat isn't microchipped, as you say, because it's not the law, to check with your vet and get them done, because
yeah,
cats do
absolutely.
Wander. I know
yeah,
that.
yes, absolutely. Yeah. It may well be there was, you know, some news recently that the government are thinking about bringing it in as a compulsory microchipping for cats as well. It's not currently the case, but absolutely, I would really encourage everyone to consider getting their cat microchipped, because it's really very helpful. Cats do go wandering more frequently than dogs.
Yeah.
And it's certainly very, very helpful to help trace down owners and things like that. So yeah, so once you've notified your microchip company that your pet's gone missing, the next thing to think about is, hopefully, if it's your dog, they were wearing a collar with your contact details on it. It's the law again that dogs in public spaces must be wearing a collar with an identity tag. So if they are found, your contact details should be very immediately accessible to anybody who were to find your dog. So as long as your dog is wearing its collar and its tag, you should be, you know, in a good position to be reunited very quickly. If your dog is not wearing a collar and a tag, then it's very, very likely that the dog will end up going straight to the local dog warden, because people will not necessarily have access to pet scanners. And so they will usually contact the dog warden and ask the dog warden to come and look after your dog in the meantime. So do bear that in mind.
Is that a case if you found a lost dog? Is that the best thing to do? Or would it be to try and find a vet to take them to?
So if we're thinking about what to do when you find a stray dog, I think the first thing to bear in mind is to never put yourself in any danger.
Yes.
So if you're concerned that maybe a dog looks like it's very anxious or nervous and it might bite you, there is no obligation on members of the public to approach a stray dog. If you're concerned about the health or the welfare of the dog, then you can always phone the RSPCA.
Right.
Now, the RSPCA will only come and deal with a stray animal that looks to be injured or is in danger, essentially. If a dog is healthy, then it's always the dog warden that you should go to, because again, vets will only take in injured or, you know, unwell animals, because they're not allowed to just keep random pets.
It's not a boarding house.
exactly. So it's a really good idea to have a vague idea of who the local dog warden is, or, you know, where their telephone number can be found. Now, if you can't get hold of the dog warden, then by all means do contact your local veterinary practice. They will always be able to scan a stray dog, but they may not be able to house that dog for you. So it may be a case of sort of phoning around local dog charities, rescue charities, or sometimes even the police if, you know, for example, a dog is loose in the road. But vets are always able to scan. They just may not be able to sort of house
the
animal.
Yeah. So going back to what you were saying, if you've lost your dog, because I've strayed onto the other way around, but if you've lost your dog and it's not immediate, then it's probably the best places to contact the dog warden and your local area.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or where it went missing, I guess.
Hopefully you'll have a vague idea of the types of, like, rehoming centres that might be in your area. Hopefully you'll be familiar with the dog warden's telephone number. But also, it's always a good idea to let local practices know. So that may not be your own practice.
Yes.
It may just be practices in the area. Because, as I say, lots of people do end up bringing in stray dogs just to get their microchip scanned. And it may well be that the local practice says, oh, well, we have had a stray dog in. Do you know what its microchip number is, or are you able to identify it? And then hopefully you would be able to be reunited that way. So it's certainly very, very helpful to phone local practices, but also local rehoming centres, and always get in contact with the dog warden as well. I think if you've done all of that, and obviously it's a really worrying time, the next couple of things to do are always very much optional, but can be very helpful. And that's thinking about registering your pet on missing pet websites. Mm-hmm. So there's a very widely used one, which is called Animal Search UK. It's used by the RSPCA and by lots of other large charities. And you can register your pet as missing on that website. And you can also register on sort of local Facebook groups, local social media, in order to sort of say your pet has gone missing. What I would really encourage people not to do is to post lots of photographs of their pet online.
Right.
Because what can happen when you do this is people would then use those photographs and make claims that those are their own photographs of their own pets. And they can sometimes be used, not usually very successfully, but they can be used to try to sort of prove identity of ownership of a pet. So try not to put too many sort of visual pieces of information about your pet online and just say, you know, has anyone lost a black and white cat?
Anyone
found a black and white cat? And then you will hopefully have people get in contact with you that way.
Would you do that for, I know people do posters and put them up around. They seem to be quite useful potentially. I don't know.
I think posters are a little bit better because there's no digital file associated with it.
Right. Okay. Yes.
Somebody can't sort of steal the image.
Yeah.
And then use it as their own. I think hopefully a photograph of a photograph would be much more obviously doctored in that sense. So I think posters can be really very helpful, particularly if you live in quite a sort of suburban area. There may be lots of places that your pet could go missing, and talk to neighbours, talk to people in the local area. So we know, for example, example, cats quite often get shut in garages or in potting sheds and things like that. So it can be helpful to just ask neighbours whether or not they have noticed, they've been into the garage recently. Would they mind checking? My cat once got locked in a neighbour's house for nearly 24 hours.
Yeah.
Because she went exploring and my neighbour went out and we then discovered her underneath his sofa. So it does happen.
Yeah.
It's always worth chatting with neighbours. But equally, again, if you think that you have found a stray animal, don't be afraid to report it or to ask around and to put up found posters. It's often a good idea to say, this black and white cat has suddenly turned up in my garden and is coming visiting, and not to feed stray animals or animals that you think might be stray, particularly cats.
They're terrible.
Because they're terrible liars.
Yeah.
They're very happy to tell you that they've not had any breakfast for months when in fact they've had three breakfasts at each house on the road. So it's really important not to sort of reinforce these wandering behaviours, and it's perfectly acceptable if you think that you are being visited by a stray cat to ask around, local neighbours. You may even, if it's a very regular visitor and it's not looking very well cared for, you may want to take it to the vet to check to have its microchip scanned. But please do not go and feed random cats whose providence you're not sure of, because we sometimes, particularly if they need medications or if they're on special diets, it can be very difficult to control a cat's food intake and to try to encourage them to stay with their actual owners.
Yeah.
So it's important that we don't sort of thieve our neighbour's pets inadvertently.
Oh, that's brilliant. Is that everything?
Yeah. I think those that's are all brilliant. The big ones.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about, we had a cat that was so big. He was huge. And the vet just told us to put posters in all our neighbours' doors saying, do not feed this cat, which was really mean.
Yeah,
thank you very much for that, Mifan.
No, you're very welcome, Alex.
Cambridge 105 Radio.